She looked calmly back at him. Finally, he said, "Why?"
"It was an accident, really. I saw the point, and I was too enthusiastic not to speak. I should have told you days ago, but I was afraid your reaction would be exactly what it is."
"So he knows." She frowned.
"What does he know? Only what he would have guessed sooner or later. That I'm your intuitionist. So what if he knows that? What value will he place on mere intuitionism?"
"We'll see Gottstein."
"What will he tell Gottstein? He still has no idea what we're really after."
"Doesn't he?"
"No."
She had stood up, walked away. Now she turned to him and shouted,
"No! It's cheap of you to imply that I would betray you and the rest. There's no point in telling them. What's the use of it to them or to us if we're all going to be destroyed?"
"Oh, please, Celine." Neville waved his hand in disgust. "Not that.
No, you listen. He talked to me and described his work. You hide me like a secret weapon so that my great talents will always be available to the Lunarites. And what do you accomplish? Where is the evidence of the great conspiracy you see all around you? The Earthmen keep you and your team from their large instruments because you goad them into it more than out of any malice on their part. And that's done us good rather than harm, since it's forced us to invent other instruments that are more subtle."
"Based on your theoretical insight, Celine."
"You've told me I have this one task, and I've tried to concentrate on it. And sometimes I think I have it, mathematics or not. I can visualize it, the kind of thing that must be done. And then it slips away. But what's the use of it, when the pump will destroy us all anyway?"
"I'll ask you again. Are you ready to tell me that the pump will destroy us? Never mind might, never mind could, never mind anything but will." Celine shook her head angrily.
"I can't. It's so marginal. I can't say it will. But isn't a simple might sufficient in such a case?"
"No. I told you your suggestions were impractical. You're not an experimentalist, and what looks good in your mind doesn't necessarily work in the real world of instruments of randomness and of uncertainty."
"The so-called real world of your laboratory?"
Her face was flushed and angry.
"You waste so much time trying to get a vacuum good enough. There's a vacuum up there on the surface. Why don't you try experiments on the surface?"
"It would have been useless."
"How do you know? You just won't try. Ben Dennison tried. He took the trouble to devise a system that he could use on the surface. Once he found out I was an intuitionist, he talked to me as you never did. He explained his reasons for thinking that the strengthening of the strong nuclear interaction is indeed accumulating catastrophically in the neighborhood of Earth. It will only be a few years before the sun explodes."
"No!" shouted Neville. "I've seen his results, and I'm not impressed."
"You've seen them?"
"Yes, of course. Do you suppose I let him work in our laboratories without making sure I know what he's doing? I've seen his results. They're worth nothing."
"What do you want to believe, Baron?"
"I want the truth."
"But haven't you decided in advance what the truth must be by your own gospel? You want the pump station of the moon so that you need have nothing to do with the surface."
"I won't argue with you. I want the pump station and even more. I want the other. One's no good without the other. Are you sure you haven't?"
"I won't tell him anything," she said. "But I must have more information. I've got to talk to him and find out what he is going to find out. If you get between him and me, you'll never have what you want. And you needn't fear his getting it before I do. He's too used to Earth thinking. He won't make that last step. I will."
"Glad," said Dennison, "that the daytime is over. The lunar sun is one thing I can't get used to. Even this suit seems a natural thing to me in comparison. He looked about with a continuing wonder. Earth was in the sky, in its accustomed place, a fat crescent bellying to the southwest. "It's beautiful," he said. Then, "Celine, is the pioneer showing anything?"
"Not yet," she said. "But that's good news, really. The field intensity is holding at just over 50.
"Not low enough," said Dennison.
"It can be lowered further. I'm sure that all the parameters are suitable."
As Dennison watched the sky, he saw what, in the midst of his momentary preoccupation, he took to be a meteorite. Light streaking through the sky could, however, be a meteorite only on Earth with its atmosphere and not on the airless moon. The light in the sky was man-made, and Dennison had not yet sorted out his impressions when it became, quite clearly, a small rocket vessel sinking rapidly to a landing beside him. A single-suited figure emerged. Dennison waited.
"Commissioner Gottstein here," the new voice said, "as you can probably tell from my wobble."
"Ben Dennison here," said Dennison. "Have you come here looking for me?"
"Certainly. News about your work here on the surface has reached me mostly as rumors concerning the electron pump, so I thought it would be worth hearing from you myself."
"I am experimenting in paraphysics, Commissioner, precisely as rumor has it. I can add that so far my experiments have been only partly successful."
"Your companion is, I imagine, Celine Lindstrom L., a tourist guide."
Celine was approaching now. Her voice rang in their ears.
"Good day, Commissioner. Overhearing is inevitable anywhere within the horizon."
Gottstein turned.
"Hello, Miss Lindstrom. I did not expect to talk in secrecy. Are you interested in paraphysics?"
"Oh, yes."
All three were facing the pioneer now, and above it, just about 5 feet above it, light shone like a fat star. Celine said,
"I raised the intensity of the magnetic field, and the nuclear field remained stable."
"Leaked," Dennison said. "Damn it, I didn't see it happen."
Celine said,
"I couldn't resist the chance of trying on my own."
Gottstein said, "But just what is it that I see there?"
Dennison said, "Energy being spontaneously given off by matter leaking from another universe into ours."
And even as he said that, the light blinked out, and many yards away, a farther, dimmer star came into simultaneous being. Gottstein interrupted.
"Let me guess what you are talking about. You mean that the matter can leak through here, or there, or anywhere in our universe at random?"
"Well, not quite at random, Commissioner," said Dennison. The leak, by the techniques we use, is heavily dependent on the density of matter already present in this universe."
"Then this is not like the electron pump."
"Not at all," said Dennison.
"In the electron pump, there's a two-way transfer of matter. Here, a one-way leak. Nor are the two universes involved the same."
Gottstein said,
"I wonder if you would have dinner with me this evening, Dr. Dennison."
Dennison hesitated.
"Myself only."
Gottstein attempted a bow in the direction of Celine, but could accomplish only a grotesque parody of it in his spacesuit.
"I would be charmed to have Miss Lindstrom's company on another occasion, but I must speak with you alone, Dr. Dennison."
"Oh, go ahead," said Celine crisply. "I'll take care of the equipment."
Baron Neville shifted from foot to foot in the fashion made necessary by the restricted quarters and by the moon's gravity.
"Then you're positive it works, right, Celine? You're positive?"
"I'm positive,"
said Celine.
"They don't know.
They still don't know."
"Of course they don't. Ben was looking at the stars, and then Gottstein came. So I tried for the field leak, got it, and I had already gotten the other. Ben set up..."
"Don't call it his setup. It was your idea, wasn't it?"
"I think I can reproduce enough of it now so that our people can fill it in."
"All right, then. Let's get started."
Not yet. "Oh, damn it, Baron, not yet."
"Why not yet?"
"It would be better to have Ben work out the details."
There was a silence between them. Neville's thin face twisted into hostility. You don't think I can do it? Is that it? Celine said,
Will you come out on the surface with me and work on it?
There was another silence. Neville said unsteadily, I don't appreciate your sarcasm. And I don't want to have to wait long.
I can't command the laws of nature, but I think it won't be long. Now, if you don't mind, I need my sleep. I've got my tourists tomorrow.
You speak carefully, like a scientist. Rothstein said, Can you tell me, in lay language, what makes the achievement significant? I can try, said Dennison cautiously. I'm considering an anti-para universe that consists of what some call a cosmic egg, or cosmeg for short. A cosmeg universe is what we need if we are to probe for one-way leakage. The para-universe we are now using with its tiny stars is virtually empty space. You can probe and probe and touch nothing. The lunar physicists have developed an instrument they call the pionizer, which can be made to do just such a thing. Once the pion's mass is decreased, or increased for that matter, it is effectively part of another universe. It becomes a crossing point. If it is decreased sufficiently, it can be made part of a cosmic universe, and that's what we want. And you can suck in matter from a cosmic universe? That part is easy. Once the gateway forms, the influx is spontaneous. The matter enters with its own laws and is stable when it arrives. Gradually, the laws of our own universe soak in. The strong interaction grows stronger, and the matter fuses and begins to give off enormous energy. Well, since the globe of light that I saw on the surface was cosmic material fusing. Yes, Commissioner. And that energy can be harnessed for useful purposes?
Certainly. And in any quantity.
Well then, any difficulty in persuading the scientific leadership that the electron pump is destroying the world should now disappear. When would you be ready to prepare a paper to this effect if I guarantee speedy publication?
I think it would be wise, said Dennison, to arrange to have Dr. Peter Lamont as co-author. I would also suggest that the lunar physicists be involved. One of their number, Dr. Baron Neville, might well be a third author.
But why? Aren't you introducing unnecessary complications now?
It would be the diplomatic thing to do. We would need to set up the cosmic pump on the moon.
Why not on Earth?
In the first place, we need a vacuum. This is a one-way transfer, not a two-way, as in the case of the electron pump. The surface of the moon has its vacuum ready-made in vast quantities, while to prepare one on Earth would involve an enormous effort.
Gottstein rose, stretched, and then jumped in place two or three times in the eerily slow fashion imposed by lunar gravity.
Shall we talk of Miss Lindstrom, Dr. Dennison?
What about her? She's a tourist guide.
Gottstein was no longer smiling.
Don't play games, Doctor. I have taken the trouble to find out what I can about her. Her record is quite revealing. I believe she is an intuitionist.
Dennison said, Many of us are. I have no doubt you are an intuitionist yourself, after a fashion. I certainly know that I am, after a fashion.
Do you trust her?
In what way? She's helped me.
Do you know that she is the wife of Dr. Baron Neville, the same Neville you want to invite as third author of the paper you are to write?
Yes.
Is that merely a coincidence?
No.
Neville was interested in my arrival, and I believe he asked Celine to help me in my work.
Does it occur to you, Dr. Dennison, that she may be working in her own interests and in those of Dr. Neville?
In what way would their interests differ from ours?
She's helped me without reservation.
Gottstein shifted position. He said, When my space skipper was hovering over the moon's surface just before the ball of radiation formed over your equipment, I was looking down at you. You were not at the pionizer.
Dennison thought back.
No, I wasn't. I was looking at the stars.
What was Miss Lindstrom doing? I didn't see. She said she strengthened the magnetic field and the leak finally broke through. Is it customary for her to manipulate the equipment without you? No, but I can understand the impulse. And would there have been some sort of an ejection? I don't understand you. I'm not sure I understand myself. There was a dim sparkle in the earthlight, as though something was flying through the air. I don't know what. I don't either, said Dennison. Then what was Miss Lindstrom doing? I still don't know. It was a heavier star of radiation, a fatter one, a brighter one. Dennison could feel its warmth on his faceplate and backed away. There was a distinct X-ray component in the radiation. I guess we can't question it, he muttered. The leak point is stable.
I'm sure of it, said Celine flatly.
He said, I suppose we can begin the paper now.
I suppose so,
said Celine carefully. Have you talked to Baron again?
I really don't think it's any use talking to him. He will not cooperate in any project with the Earth government. He's asked to see Gottstein, and the commissioner agreed to an interview after he returns from his Earth visit. Maybe Gottstein can have some effect on him, but I doubt it.
Dennison shoved the pionizer and its attendant apparatus into its rocky shelter. They slipped into the surface entrance at outlet P4, and Dennison climbed down the entry ladder. Celine dropped past him, breaking in quick holes at individual rungs. They removed their suits at the staging areas, placed them in their lockers. Dennison said, they're making a fuss about all this back on Earth. Gottstein has been pulling at strings in advance of his trip back. Dr. Lamont is being lionized, and they want me to come back once the paper is written.
Back to Earth?
Yes. It seems I'm a hero, too.
You should be.
Complete rehabilitation, said Dennison. That's what they offer. It's clear I can get a position in any suitable university or government agency on Earth.
Isn't that what you wanted?
It's what I imagine Lamont wants. But I don't want it. Celine said,
what do you want then?
I want to stay on the moon.
Why?
Because I want to work at the establishment of cosmic pumps. And that will be only here on the moon. I want to work on paratheory with the kind of instruments you can dream up and handle, Celine. I want to be with you, Celine. But will you stay with me?
I'm as interested in paratheory as you are,
Dennison said. But won't Neville pull you off the job now?
Are you suggesting that I'm working with you because Baron ordered me to?
Didn't he?
Then, I choose to be here.
And Dennison smiled. I dreaded the end of the project if it meant the end of you. I'm sorry, Celine. I don't mean to plague you with a sentimental attachment of an old earthy.
Well, there's nothing old earthy about your mind, Ben. There are other attachments than sexual. I like being with you.
Dennison's smile faded. I'm glad for my mind. She watched him carefully, almost anxiously. Celine, there's more than energy involved in the cross-universe leaks. I suspect you've been thinking about that. The silence stretched out now, painfully. And finally, Celine said,
oh, that.
For a while, the two stared at each other. Dennison, embarrassed. Celine, almost furtive. I have no intention of returning, Commissioner, said Dennison. In a way, it's too bad. You could be emperor by acclamation. As for Hallam, Dennison said wistfully, I would have liked to see his face, but that's a small ambition. Lamont, of course, is receiving the lion's share. He's on the spot. I don't mind that. He deserves a good deal. A time and place for... Ah, there's Dr. Neville. Gottstein composed his face. Dennison shifted his chair to face the entrance. Baron Neville entered solemnly. He greeted the two curtly, sat down, and crossed his legs. The commissioner said, I am glad to see you, Dr. Neville. Dr. Dennison tells me that you refused to append your name to what I am sure will be a classic paper on the Cosmeg pump. What happens on Earth is of no interest to me. You are aware of the Cosmeg pump experiments, of its implications? All of them. I know the situation as well as you two do. Then I will proceed without preliminaries. I have returned from Earth, Dr. Neville. And it is settled as to what will be the course of future procedure. Large Cosmeg pump stations will be set up on three places on the lunar surface to counteract the changes in field intensities introduced by the electron pump. Will Lunar City have the use of any of it? If necessary, we feel the solar batteries will probably supply what you need, but there is no objection to supplementation. That is kind of you, said Neville. And who will build and run the Cosmeg pump stations? Lunar workers, we hope, said Gottstein. Lunar workers you know, said Neville. Earth workers will be too clumsy to work effectively on the moon. We recognize that, said Gottstein. We trust the men of the moon will cooperate. And who will decide how much energy to generate? Who decides policy? Gottstein said, the government would have to. It's a matter of planetary decision. Neville said, you see then, it will be moon men who do the work, earth men who run the show. The answer is no. You mean you won't build the cosmic pump stations? We'll build them, Commissioner, but they'll be ours. We'll decide how much energy to put out and what use to make of it. We intend to move the moon. But why? I mean, why should you want to move the moon? I should think that would be obvious. Why do we need the suffocating presence of the Earth? That's why it drags the entire moon away. To build up respectable accelerations will take years where the moon mass is concerned. You creep. Build starships instead. Ships that are cosmic powered and have independent ecologies. If it takes 20 years to build the ships, they will nevertheless accelerate at a rate that will enable them to overtake the moon's place within a year, even if the moon starts accelerating today. Neville said scornfully, we're in no hurry to get anywhere except away from Earth. Dennison's voice remained level, but his cheeks reddened. Who gave you the right to say that? There are many citizens of Lunar City who may not feel as you do. The decision is made. It is not made. Selene. Selene entered, her face solemn, her eyes defiant. Neville said, how long have you been waiting in the next room, Selene?
Since before you arrived, Baron, she said.
Neville looked from Selene to Dennison and back again. You too, he began, finger pointing from one to the other.
It wasn't Selene's fault, said Dennison. The commissioner spotted something flying at a time when no one could possibly have known he would be observing.
Well, then, you knew, said Neville. Doesn't matter.
It does, Baron, said Selene. I talked about it with Ben. I found that I didn't always have to accept what you said. Then I talked to others of the group. Not everybody wants to leave. Most people would rather build the ships and let those go who wish to go, while allowing those to remain behind who wish to remain.
Neville's breath was coming hard. You talked about it. Who gave you the right to?
I took the right, Baron. Besides, it doesn't matter anymore. You'll be outvoted.
Slowly, Neville seated himself again. There was a look of defeat on his face. In Celine's apartment, every window now had a view of the Earth. She said,
The The vote did go against him, Ben. Quite heavily.
I doubt that he'll give up, though. If there's friction with Earth during the building of the stations, public opinion on the moon may swing back.
There needn't be friction.
No, there needn't. Once the starships are built, the tension will subside considerably.
We'll live to see that, I'm sure.
You will, Selene.
You too, Ben. Don't over-dramatize your age. You're only 48.
Would you go on one of the starships, Selene?
No. I'd be too old. And I still wouldn't want to lose Earth in the sky. My son might go. Ben?
Yes, Selene.
I have applied for a second son. The application has been accepted. Would you contribute?
Dennison's eyes lifted and looked straight into hers. She did not look away. He said, artificial insemination. She said,
of course. The gene combination should be interesting.
Dennison's eyes dropped. I would be flattered, Selene. Selene said defensively,
that's just good sense, Ben. It's important to have good gene combinations. There's nothing wrong with some natural genetic engineering.
None at all.
It doesn't mean that I don't want it for other reasons, too. Because I like you.
Dennison nodded and remained silent. Selene said almost angrily,
well, there's more to love than sex.
Dennison said, I agree to that. At least, I love you, even with sex subtracted. And Selene said,
and for that matter, there's more to sex than acrobatics.
Dennison said, I agree to that, too. And Selene said,
and besides, oh, damn it, you could try to learn.
Dennison said softly, if you would try to teach. Hesitantly, he moved toward her. She did not move away. He stopped hesitating.
Listening to The Gods Themselves by Isaac Asimov, read by Gail Garnett, directed by Stuart Lee, and produced by Family Radio Programming.